Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you once again, and we thank the Lord that He is alive and well. He rose from the dead, and He is the living God, and He is with us today, and He has given His Word. Jesus says, "Words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life," and the Bible says that the words of the Lord endure forever, and thy word is true from the beginning. And so we have a lot of counterfeits today, and this program is to direct you and help you to understand where the true word of God is that we can depend on and we can trust in. And so we're so glad once again that we can come to you. And I was thinking as we were coming, they were talking about one station being on the air a long time and some of the different programs that were on, and thinking back in my own experience, but it's probably over 50 years ago that I first had a radio program when I was in college at Huntington, Indiana, in a local small town, Indiana town. And I had a radio program at the time, the first one, and I was sponsored by a local Christian bookstore, and that started it off. And then years after that, working for a radio station, having talk shows and so on. But this time, a number of years back, we've been on here about 5 or 6 years, the Lord just, someone invited us to come on, and someone else paid for the time, and the Lord just set it up. And today we've had thousands of contacts through our website, and we have listeners worldwide in almost every continent on earth. We're on the Voice of Africa that covers most African towns, and then we're listened to in China and Russia and India, and we could just go on and name Brazil's the big listening, and recently we've had listeners in Germany has really increased, and then in Israel. And so we thank God that we have this opportunity. But English is the universal language, and so God has given us a Bible in the universal language, and that's what we talk about here. And then there's been translations of this text all over the world, and it is the text of the apostles. We call it the apostolic text because it is traced back to the apostles of Jesus Christ. And today you hear all the time they say the Greek text says or the Greek says, but anybody knows what Greek text it is because there's dozens of them out there floating around. There are a lot of them very corrupt. And, of course, there's one true one that has come down to us. It's called the Received Text. And it's shown to us and given to us in many different translations. And today in Europe, there's hundreds of these ancient Bibles that are in the museums over there that line up with the Authorized King James Bible. And all the evidence is in favor of our Authorized Bible. And since you hear so many people on the air correcting it, we feel like God has raised up this program to take a stand so that you that are Christians, you can say with the Lord, "In thy word do I trust." When you have a King James Bible, you can trust in it. I know a lot of groups say we believe the truth and so on, but then where is that truth? Even they say today, well, we believe the Bible is infallible, inspired, and inerrant, but they cannot point to a Bible, or they'll talk about the originals, which nobody really has the originals, and if they had them, they wouldn't even know it was the originals, or the actual copies that the apostles wrote. But we have copies of copies that have come down to us, and our King James is based on those copies. And I know people say, well, we've got, since the King James translators put that out, we got more manuscripts. Well, what they use new and better manuscripts, usually referring to Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And the King James translators, they had the readings from these corrupt so-called Bibles in their day. And since that time, we have more evidence than ever that the Authorized Bible is the right one. If you haven't heard of Oxyrhynchus in Egypt, that they found about many years after the King James translating, they found a lot of the ancient papyri there, and they lined up right along with the King James Authorized Bible. And some of the Greek texts were changed to fit with that particular find, but it did line up with the readings in the Authorized King James Bible. And so if you're a preacher today, I know what you've been taught because I read the books in many cases. And I say that the Greek departments in many of these colleges and seminaries are very corrupt. And if I was the only one saying this, then you could question it like I'm some small sect or something saying this. However, almost every famous, well-known fundamental leader in the past has basically taken the same position that I have. And we've quoted them. We've quoted D.L. Moody, who is a King James-only person. We quoted Spurgeon, the last message he gave to his Bible Institute. And because of the chaos that had already come to the Greek departments in their day, they just started to teach the King James Bible as the final authority. And we give many reasons for that. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And so a billion copies of the King James Bible have been put out, and every translation that comes out, it's just a matter of time before it is dumped. And it says, "A stranger will they not follow." And God says, "I've honored my word above all my name." So on radio and television all over the world, up till this present day, they're using the King James Authorized Bible. And the correctors, they don't have a Bible. A lot of times it's just their own personal opinion. And many times they haven't even studied Greek. I remember reading one so-called Bible teacher, and he had got popular at the time. He constantly corrected King James, and I had no evidence that he's ever studied Greek or Hebrew because he never even mentions it. He just corrects it, see? Well, they say, we go by the originals. They don't have the originals. And so they're correcting the Bible people have, and they're causing confusion. Now, that's what our program is all about. And we believe that we were invited to come on to a station, and then the money came in, and then Brother Al Davis came along. Then we had a promoter for God just brought a whole group of us together until it's been now a worldwide program. We've had over 6,000 hits on our website that are interested in what we are saying worldwide. You know, what we're talking about too, the research that we have done for 30 years, we have read all as many different sides as we could. It's based on research in many of the leading colleges in the world. And we're not just talking off our head over some sectarian person that really doesn't know what they're talking about. And some of the books that I talk about, although many of them have been written, very good ones, and I talk about some of them that are the best. I think some of them I talk about are incredibly well-researched, incredibly good. And some of the best ones, I tell you, Satan is, if he could, he couldn't. In the past, they burned him at the stake. They would have burned these people at the stake, and they burn them on the internet and say every vile thing they can imagine against them. But we're going to stand up for God's word, and we have it. God says, "Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." God says that the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's not in some cave we haven't found and we have to wait till the latest cave that the latest manuscript they found from some cave somewhere, and then our Bible is changed and we're in a constant state of confusion. You know, one leading Bible school, and I'm not trying to knock preachers or Bible schools, I'm defending the King James, but a leading fundamental Bible school in the area, a guy graduated about valedictorian or near the top of his class, and he told his friend that he got out of the ministry and went back to working in the factory after graduating from this Bible Institute because he said he didn't know where the Word of God is. And it is a picture of the chaos of these Greek departments. And so I have been reading the books that they have written for years. I try to read every book that I can on all sides of this issue, and that's the information I'm giving you, possibly the top of the iceberg. But some of the books that I recommend although I could recommend many of them. I'm just saying some of the books that I feel that are the top books. And for instance, a book called Hazardous Materials, The Voice of Strangers by Gail Riplinger. And sometimes when I read what she says, it is astounding to me, the spiritual wisdom and the spiritual knowledge of the Bible and the knowledge of textual history, because usually she quotes the leading scholars from around the world in her books, and she gives the documented evidence. And so Satan has put up a firestorm of attack on her as much as that he possibly could for that reason. Now, in the past, they just burn her at the stake, but they can't do that, so they burn her at the they burn people like that in the internet. But I say this, if every preacher should read that book called Hazardous Materials, The Voice of Strangers by Dr. Gail Riplinger, and you can remember that, you can get it on the internet and send for that book, you should read the other side. You say, well, I don't agree with anything you're saying. Okay, but you mean you're only going to read one side of the issue and you're a pastor? I know what you've been taught by the Greek departments because I've been reading it for the last 30 years. And I'm telling you, it's a lie, and that's what we talk about here. Now, I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, and he says this in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though we now know them and be established as in present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, the apostles of Jesus, they were common men, and yet they were godly men. I mean, their whole life was, they weren't wicked and sinful people. They were very godly individuals who lived an upright life. And these, almost every one of them, we know from history, died for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the atheists have told Christians this, and I know a lot of Christians think this way. Faith is sort of a leap in the dark. But our faith is based on infallible proof that God has given to us. It's called Jesus was alive by many infallible proofs he showed himself alive. And it's based on evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, all that we believe about God and Christ, the evidence of things not seen. God has showed us the evidence of himself. For instance, God shows us the evidence of himself in the Bible. Israel is the evidence, one of the great evidences. Because God said that they were an everlasting nation, and he said that he would scatter them, and then he would bring them back. And we have listened and watched as the whole nation of Jewish people have been brought back to the land. And then the Bible says they would go through the time of Jacob's trouble. They would go through a time, Moses called it, the tribulation at the end of days. And so we see the nations of the world and the UN now are attacking them constantly. And so they're getting ready to raise an army against Israel. And when they raise that army at that point and they go against Israel, the country will be overrun and Israel will pray to the Lord. And at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ will return. God says, "I will gather all nations against Jerusalem and I will pour out my spirit upon the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." And who was it was pierced? Well, it was God was speaking there, and it was God that was pierced. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "The Lord himself shall go forth, and his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives." Jesus left bodily and physically from the Mount of Olives, and he will return bodily and physically on the Mount of Olives. "And they shall look upon me," God says, "whom they have pierced." Jesus is God. And when he died on the cross, he was pierced. And he was punished for every sin that you ever did or ever will do. And his blood has washed away your sins. I don't know how that happens, but spiritually it happens. And his blood takes away every sin. And when you die, if you have invited Jesus to come into your life and you said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and you recognize you sinned, Jesus died for your sins, he rose from the dead. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, I know there are people out there who believe God will kick you out. But Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. Now, we'll continue on reading here. And it says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are witnesses of his majesty. And he's talking about seeing Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Then came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And so they saw Christ in all of his glory. They heard the voice of God the Father out of heaven. You say, well, if I could see Christ in all of his glory, if I could hear the voice of God the Father, then I would really believe. But Peter says here, through the Holy Spirit, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, we have something much more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory, hearing the voice of God the Father. One false group that came was raised up against the Word of God and against the teachings of the New Testament. The person believed that he saw a vision of Christ, and then he got voices for this vision to set up an organization to fight against the New Testament and against the Word of God. Well, he didn't see Christ. He saw a demon. And many times the Bible says the devil appears as an angel of light, and he speaks to people. And so many false religions have come to us through some demonic apparition. We also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now God has set light to us. We know why we're here. We know what we're doing. We know where we're going. We know for sure how we can know we're going to heaven. It says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And that's Jesus Christ arises in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. Now here Peter puts an incredible warning that's very, very important. Because what people do is they take a passage of Scripture right out of the context of which it is written, and they put a private interpretation on it. An interpretation that does not fit the context, an interpretation that God did not intend to be put on it. Somebody puts a joke about it, and they put it like this. They made a joke about this, but it says one place where it says Judas went out and hanged himself, and then another scripture it says, go and do thou likewise. Another scripture they put together, whatsoever thou doest, do right away, or something like that. And, you know, you can put scriptures together. You can put private interpretations. I could go in a lot of private interpretations right now. For instance, I'll just give one to explain what I'm talking about. Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, here's a private interpretation that's come down. Somebody said, well, that's referring to some priest or minister praying over the water becomes holy water. Then that holy water takes away sins when you get baptized in it. Now, that's an private interpretation if there ever was one, because right after Jesus has made this statement, he explains it. All difficult scriptures are explained on almost every time. And he says, that which is born of water, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What's the water birth? That's the fleshly birth. The water breaks right before the person is born. And then he says, that which is born of the Spirit, you got to be born of the spiritual birth. So he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. And people that are born of the Spirit, how is that? He states it, God so loved the world. In the very same chapter, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody at a shoe store. And this lady said, well, she says, it looks like that I'm going to die very soon because our family dies at a certain age. And I said, well, if you're going to die, let me tell you about how you could know where you're going. And she really didn't want to. I threw in a few words that I hope she will remember. But she says, well, I don't care about that. Well, you're going to spend all eternity somewhere. You better care where you're going to go. And that's why people are afraid. And so she said, so I said to her, well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead and come to him. The dying thief says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, it says there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, there were false prophets, there shall be false teachers. And so we got the false teachers putting out false translations of the Bible. And everybody constantly says, the Greek text, well, there's all kinds of Greek texts, and a lot of them are false. And it says they deny the Lord that bought them. Why? A lot of these modern versions, first of all, they say that Joseph was Jesus' father in Luke 2:33. And then they take out the names of Jesus in 100 places. And we give out a paper. I could go into New ASV, NIV, New American Standard Version, New International Version, and RSV, ASV, and all these corrupt versions of the Scripture. The true Bible comes from Antioch, the missionary church, and it is called the Antiochian text that has come down to us, and it's based on the Italic translation, the Koine Greek Bible, the Gothic Bible, Syriac Peshitta. All of these are the true received text coming from the apostles of Jesus Christ. But it says that these people, they will bring in damnable heresies, attack Jesus, but then bring upon themselves swift destruction. Dr. Logsdon was the pastor of Moody Church, and he was working on a committee, and somebody showed him all the changes that were made in the new ASV, and he got together with Lachman. He says, I got to talk to you. We made a lot of changes. A lot of changes have been made, and he says, I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God. This is the pastor of Moody Church, and Lachman says, well, I'll talk to you. I'm going to get married when I come back. I'll talk to you. Well, Lachman never did come. He came back in a box. He didn't come back with the bride. And God is serious about his words. The words of the Lord are pure words. And ever since that time, the former pastor of Moody Church, Logsdon, has been attacking the modern version as a corrupt text out of Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt. And God warns about Egypt. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by ways reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Anybody that defends the King James, they get a firestorm of attack on their person, attack on their past, attack on them, everything about it, you know, an attack on what they've said. You know, and it says, many shall follow their evil ways and the way of truth, and through covetousness shall they make with fiend words make merchandise of you whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation summereth not. You know, for a modern version to be put out, they make money on those versions. And so a certain number of words have to be changed in every one of these versions so that they can get the copyright. So they have to change the words in the Scripture for them to get the copyrights to make money. They have made merchandise of you. You know, the King James, it doesn't have copyrights on that text. And that's the text that come down to from the apostles. Now it says, and through covetousness shall they with fiend words, they'll talk like they have the Bible. They say every word is true, the Bible is true, the Bible is infallible, but they don't have a Bible. And then they'll pretend they have the Greek text. But you know, when they correct it, they're using lexicons or dictionaries that are put out by unsaved, corrupt people much of the time. And so they're using false texts, false dictionaries, and so on. But thank God we have his tremendous word. We have his word. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. It reproduces itself. And today it is still used worldwide, believed to be says, when you receive the word you get of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh effectually in you that believe. We believe we have the word of God. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And we are looking at it today in the Authorized King James Bible. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.